A Wisconsin Badgers football player left the program this winter to transfer to the University of Miami in a move that set new precedent across college sports.
The Badgers refused to let freshman defensive back Xavier Lucas enter the transfer portal to leave the school after this past season because of an existing revenue-sharing agreement with the player.
Instead, Lucas withdrew from classes at UW-Madison to enroll as a student in Miami with plans to join the football team.
Schools around the country are watching how this all plays out and what it's going to mean for how these revenue-sharing contracts could be enforced.
We check in on the potential impacts for Wisconsin's athletic programs with Matt Mitten, a law professor and executive director of the National Sports Law Institute at Marquette University Law School. Matt, welcome back to Wisconsin Today.
Well, my pleasure to join you, Kate.
Lots to break down here. But first, how does the athlete compensation system work now for college players and athletic programs like Wisconsin?
Well, the way that it's supposed to work is all intercollegiate athletes can enter into NIL deals with third parties, including collectives of universities, which typically are alumni, boosters, donors, and they can earn fair market value, pay for publicity. It's supposed to be based on the athlete's value to the marketer, advertiser, seller of products or services as, someone who would be advertising, promoting their products. So for example, Michael Jordan, he's made a lot more money from Nike with his name on, shoes and various other products than he did playing basketball for the Chicago Bulls. But what we have in reality is a pay-for-play system where collectives are being used to attract, outstanding players to particular universities based on their athletic ability rather than their fair market value pay for publicity.
So enter Xavier Lucas here. How unique is the case in going around the transfer portal, unenrolling from Wisconsin? What implications could this case have?
Well, really very significant ones. My understanding is he entered into a two-year revenue sharing deal with the University of Wisconsin, Madison. And for whatever reason, he decided that he wanted to play football at the University of Miami instead. And he's from South Florida. And his deal is contingent upon the proposed House antitrust litigation settlement. There's going to be a final approval hearing by Judge Wilkin on April 7th. But it's pretty commonplace that universities nationwide are entering into these revenue sharing deals with athletes in various sports. And, the thought is that the judge will perhaps approve this settlement agreement. Even if they don't, it looks like at least Division I autonomy conference schools are going to go forward with it. And, effective July 1st. So those are contractual agreements. And not only the athlete, but the other universities, have to respect contracts. So here we have a situation where I don't know the facts, but it appears Mr. Lucas may, have violated this revenue sharing agreement with the University of Wisconsin. He's already enrolled at Miami. So, what Mr. Lucas has done raises two issues. Is one, the enforceability of athletes' revenue sharing deals with their respective universities, and two, what's going to be the particular time frame when athletes can say, I'm going to choose to leave my university and go somewhere else?
And you mentioned the House versus NCAA settlement, and which would allow schools to pay college athletes for the first time. And Xavier Lucas's attorney, Darren Heitner, said the revenue sharing agreement he signed with Wisconsin isn't binding because the school can't pay him until this NCAA settles its antitrust suit with the U.S. House of Representatives. And so let's listen here. Here's Heitner explaining his side on ESPN.
The problem for Wisconsin is it hasn't paid him anything. Like, what are they concerned about here? If, in fact, they had paid Xavier Lucas, which they can't do under the current bylaws, that would be a separate issue.
So if the NCAA finalizes its settlement with the House in April, as you mentioned, does that then make Lucas's Wisconsin contract enforceable?
Well, I think it's likely enforceable now, unless it violates federal antitrust law. It's fairly common for people to enter into contracts that are not going to become effective until a future date. So here, for example, if we assume July 1st, 2025, that's when the contract would become effective, and presumably Mr. Lucas would be entitled to payments from the University of Wisconsin for playing football. So to say now that that is not an enforceable contract because he hasn't been paid now makes absolutely no sense. His contractual right to payment wouldn't begin before July 1st of this year, because this contract would not become effective until then.
I want to step back here for a moment. Xavier Lucas appeared in 12 games for the Badgers as a freshman. There is the swirling issues around compensation and revenue sharing. But what about fans here? What will there be any visible ways these changes could affect the fan experience in Wisconsin or Marquette or elsewhere?
Well, definitely. Traditionally, college athletes, they can choose, wherever they want to play. And, you get 4 years of eligibility. And, historically, the vast majority of athletes have played at one university. But now we have transfer rules that permit athletes to transfer and potentially play at, use their 4 years of eligibility at four different schools. And, this musical chairs, definitely is going to affect at some point fan interest, because you get used to seeing a promising young player as, let's say, a freshman, look forward to him next year. And it's like, oh, well, no, he's no longer here. He went and signed a deal somewhere else. So one of the purposes of these revenue sharing agreements, and I understand a lot of them are multi-years, it would be designed to keep a player like Xavier Lucas at the University of Wisconsin. And let's keep in mind, it was his choice to sign this agreement. But that's the problem, is there isn't an orderly system, and fans do like some measure of continuity.
We're talking about changes to athlete compensation in college sports, name, image, and likeness deals. We have Marquette sports law professor Matt Mitten with us. Matt, Yahoo Sports is reporting that the NCAA is moving to form this new entity to oversee and enforce athlete compensation rules under the antitrust settlement. How could that change the system for Division I schools in Wisconsin?
Well, it's actually not the NCAA doing this. The NCAA consists of 1,100 schools and more than 100 athletic conferences. This, what you just described, is what the four autonomy or power conferences are proposing to do. So that would be the member schools of the Big Ten, SEC, ACC, and Big 12. And of course, University of Wisconsin is a member of the Big Ten. Marquette University, for example, is not. All of the members of the autonomy conference schools play football at the Division I FBS level. Marquette, of course, does not have a football team.
Could a body like this intervene in a case like Xavier Lucas?
Well, potentially it would, because as I understand, what is proposed is that at least the the members of the four autonomy conferences and likely Notre Dame. So that would be roughly 70 schools. They would form a separate entity and they would agree on rules like this, like when are athletes eligible to go into a transfer portal? It might be just one particular time period during the year. And it's also proposed that there would be a mechanism for policing the proposed salary cap. And then the other component of it is athletes would still be free to enter into fair market value NIL rights deals with third parties. Mm. And then there would be a system to resolve disputes. For example, if an athlete said, hey, this deal was invalidated, and I think it really was a fair market value contract based on my publicity value, not my value as a player.
An added layer of complexity here in recent days, the Education Department rescinding guidance from the Biden administration that name, image, and likeness deals fall under Title IX and require equitable distribution between male and female athletes. How were schools balancing NIL compensation between male and female sports up to this point? Or were they?
Well, that's hard to say because the House settlement agreement really doesn't establish any parameters or requirements on, you know, schools. One are free to say, all right, are we willing to, you know, spend up to, you know, 20.5 million of our revenues in revenue sharing with athletes. Mm-hmm. And there's not going to be a lot of schools outside the four autonomy conferences whose athletic departments generate the revenues to do that. That's the first thing. But then those that do decide to do so, there aren't, as I understand it, really much in the way of parameters there other than don't exceed the salary cap. It'd be up to each school to determine how it's going to distribute that 20.5 million to its intercollegiate athletes. And what Title IX of federal law requires is that universities that and colleges that receive federal funds, if any part of the college or university receives it, all of its operations, including the athletic department, are covered by Title IX. Mm. And as applied to athletics, historically, what that has meant is schools must provide athletic participation opportunities proportionally equal for both male and female athletes, as well as provide equal treatment and benefits. So if a university is providing a disproportionate amount of the, you know, revenue sharing to male athletes in revenue generating sports, that raises some very important Title IX issues. And, you know, the Biden administration's approach was, you know, got to comply with Title IX. There's not a carve out or an exception that you can take out, you know, revenue generating sports like football and mm-hmm. men's basketball. But recently, the Trump administration withdrew that and is basically taking the position that, you know, revenue sharing payments would not constitute, you know, financial aid assistance or other benefits where Title IX would require equitable distribution between female and male athletes.
Matt, thank you for joining us.
Sure, my pleasure.
Matt Mitten is a law professor and executive director of the National Sports Law Institute at Marquette University Law School. He was with us to share how changes to name, image, and likeness compensation will affect Wisconsin college sports.